This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This election day, an important and pivotal day in American history and for all patriots kind. Let me tell you, you know what really stuffs the ballot in my box?
For the game, padding the ball, May scanning, loads of time, he'll roll, he'll run, a sidestep, he's ready to throw, nobody's open, into the end zone, touchdown, oh my goodness, Stevenson, and May with an F.
That's right, Drake May gets our vote of confidence. For the future is bright in Foxborough, even if there are turbulent times ahead, everybody. Good morning and welcome to a live edition of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast with your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here at the helm. Andy Jumbo Hart is away on some personal affairs right now, so we will wish him well. That's right, it's me and it's you guys, or as he likes to call you, you people, the Patriots fans, the good people of Pats Nation joining me here for an impromptu Six Rings and Football Things, talking Drake May and everything else swirling about Patriots Nation right now. Well, I know it's a big day for everybody, so we appreciate you guys jumping in with us live on the Fitzy GFY and WEEI socials as we record the latest podcast. And if you just watch us live, make sure that you subscribe to the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, Spotify, Apple Pods, use the Odyssey app, whatever portal or platform you like to use to find awesome football conversations. I'm particularly happy to see some of you guys in the chat. Our old pal Jeff Stenberg. Wait a second. No, Andy, this show just keeps improving. We laugh because we love. And also, you know, hey, he's never been afraid to take shots at me as well when I've been away. So we wanted to just sort of lay out how things are moving around right now in Pats Nation. I'm happy to see that everybody who has joined me here right now is as thrilled as I am with the way things are going. Now, first things first, the Pats lost on Sunday, and it was a painful loss at that because, number one, obviously they lose to a team that we all deemed inferior to them as well, had a good defense, absolutely no offense to speak of. They're not sure what their future is under center and at the helm because there's issues with Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, old family friend of the Mays, nothing much to write home about as well. And the Patriots didn't look like they could keep up with them all day long. They got pushed around. Granted, of course, there's still lots of subs on defense as well. The receivers can't catch a cold, let alone flack or footballs at this point. The same issues that have dogged the Patriots continue to plague them on Sunday. But I'll tell you, even when Drake May, who was in the protocol all week long and we were all concerned, will he, won't he, can he, should he, gets out there on Sunday and was the entirety of the Patriots offense, the entirety of the Patriots team. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this, but on Sunday, we covered this a little bit on the radio and on the postgame show on Sunday, but it bears repeating one more time, just so people understand how impressive what Drake May is doing right now is. Of the 315 yards of total offense the Patriots amassed as they were outgained by about 100 yards by the Titans, that's right, the Titans, Drake May was responsible for all but 14 of them. That's right. He was literally the entire offense on Sunday. That's right, Benjamin Rosado watching live on Facebook right now. May is that guy. He's got the moxie. Oh, he's got the moxie and then some. He is him. He is the battle hymn of Patriots Republic. He is Timothy Chalamet. He is Kim Jong-un. He is Himbo Slice. He is all of the hymns you can put together and then some, and I'm looking forward to seeing some in the comment box right now as we keep rolling here. The kid does it all for the Pats. Yes, I agree, guys. Burley Sullivan checks in, watching live on YouTube right now. Drake is a baller, but needs to tighten it up. Look, the kid's only had, this is now year three for him playing football at a high elite level, okay? Yeah, there are some things he needs to tighten up. He should have felt the pressure on the backside, but he got Vidarian mowed down as Vidarian Lowe got smoked on the left side. Obviously, the offensive line, as many of you are chiming in, yeah, it's a massive work in progress. It's a huge issue. They never should have kicked in Laydon Robinson at right guard and sent Mike Onwenu out to tackle, because Onwenu needed to be there at right guard Sunday to deal with the juggernaut that was Jeffrey Simmons, who just blew up all the Patriots' plans, running, passing, and more Sunday in the first half as well. They have line issues. Yes, Drake May tries to do too much. And this is one of the problems. This is why the Patriots need to. I'm with people like Phil Perry and others in town who have said by 4 p.m. today, the Patriots should try to make a move for the now. Don't worry about just building your football team for the future, even though they currently hold the number one draft pick overall. And that may either get them a tackle, a receiver. It could net them multiple picks that'll help them significantly reboot the franchise or continue along this latest iteration of a rebuild. But they should get him help as soon as possible, because there's no line to speak of right now. Like we said, the receivers are an issue. Freaking Ramondre, it's great to have a hammer of a back, but they need a speedy change of pace. I don't know how they're going to address that as well. Antonio Gibson not being used properly. Jermichael Hasty, what would you say you do here? Poor Hunter Henry, who's having the best year of his career. That dude is going to need to get in a cold tub on January 6th and stay in there until February 14th. He is in a freaking motocross rollover multiplied by an Evel Knievel bus bike accident every freaking Sunday. This is unbelievable what this guy's going through this year. He's been absolutely spectacular, but I think it's unfair that how much they're asking Drake May to do. So when you say like he's going to have to tighten things up, that Drake May needs to finesse some elements of his game, sure. He's also 22, for God's sakes. What has he started? He started four games and he's played three and a half up to this point. Yeah, he'll figure out coverages. Yeah, he's going to get tricked. I got news for you. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning threw a couple interceptions in their day as well, including their rookie seasons, like Peyton Manning, who led the friggin' league in interceptions. And then guess what happened the next year? He led the league in touchdown passes. So take heart, Pats people. Drake May, who has a want to learn. Drake May, who has zest. He's got the moxie. He's got all of it and then some. He is going to improve game by game, which is why it was so important to ultimately get him in there in the lineup right now. I want to share this clip with you. This was from our pal Tommy Curran, who appears on EEI a bunch of times over on the NBC Sports Boston. Nice podcast with the Patriots talk with his name on it and everything. His soundbite directly afterwards, as he was doing a televised postgame, but I know you guys were listening to our Six Rings postgame on EEI. This is exactly what I've been looking for ages now on the New England Patriots. The star power, the draw, the gravitational pull. Maybe, just maybe now, we're not going to get people doing that whole routine with the electrical tape or the masking tape, the duct tape on the back of their Mac Jones or their Garoppolo jerseys where they scribble in May. Maybe now, just maybe, things will change for the better. Take a listen.
It's the kind of game that makes kids buy the jersey.
Yeah.
That makes dads and moms buy the jersey and show up and sells a lot of May jerseys. And Mac Jones really never had a game like that. Never where he put on the cape and brought the team down the field. And Drew Bledsoe didn't have a lot of those early on in his career until the great finger game, or the last one in 1993, the 70 attempt game in 1994. Those are the things that really captivate and capture your audience.
Exactly. Of course, you guys remember the great finger game as well. All right, keep the comments clean, folks. We try to resemble a family podcast here. Although we are Pats fans and we apologize for nothing. And you guys remember 1994, the great game where Bledsoe came back, 70 passes, beat the Vikings, touchdown pass to Kevin Turner in overtime. Spectacular effort. That's what you're getting right now from Drake May, except he's further along than Bledsoe was in year two, four games into year one. Just imagine what he would do. My God, my kingdom to have freaking Kevin Turner and Sean Jefferson and Vincent Brisby in one of the great underrated Patriots, if not NFL players and tight ends of all time, Ben Wintercoats. Like I said, Hunter Henry's doing an awesome job. But look how far, look what this kid is able to do. He was the leading rusher on the Patriots Sunday by 80 effing yards. He had 8 scoots for 95 yards. He's averaging 12 yards a dash, and he wasn't avoiding contact as well. Now, I know you guys are probably going to say, yeah, well, someone's going to have to teach him how to slide. Someone's going to have to teach him to get down because we need him for the long haul. Yeah, I agree with you guys as well. But he knows there's a lot that he can do to improve his game, and he said as much during his weekly appearance on WEEI on Monday.
Myself and probably anybody's going to be harder on me. So that's the mindset I try to keep. And you know, I think there's another step I can take in leadership-wise, and I got to go make some plays and kind of be smarter with the football. I think that'll go a long way and kind of earn the guys' trust and respect. But I think I got respect in that locker room with those guys and kind of earn it throughout the year and kind of can make the next step in being so vocal and do little things with teammates to kind of be that quarterback leader that everybody wants.
Yep, that quarterback leader that everybody wants. Kid, do not put any more pressure on yourself. Do not ask more of yourself at this time. You are evading sacks on a regular basis. You are mastering and moving around in the pocket like JK, the lead singer and prime dancer of Jamiroquai. You're throwing dimes and darts down the field. You are running and gunning like an Olympic sprinter. You're making people think that Michael Vick decided to change arm angles and flash forward to the future the way he moves around the field. This kid, he is going to improve naturally through time, effort, and his own will and talent. The Patriots cannot ask more of him. So as we hit this sort of midseason point now, Pats are literally not 9 weeks into an 18-week season. There's only 8 games to go.
Thank God.
Actually, I'm enjoying watching his progress at this point. So even if they finish 2-15, 3-14, top number one, number two pick overall, I'm enjoying watching the progress of Drake May because we definitely have a certain something. But before we get into our next question, let's check with all of our good people here that are watching live right now. Let's see. We got Matthew Werner. Fitzy, I just saw that Polk is rated dead last in wide receiver rankings in the NFL per PFF. Is it too early to cut the cord? Stash him on IR. A little Foxborough flu. Try again next summer. No. Listen, this is one of the main questions that has actually come through recently is what in the holy hell has happened in that wide receiver room? Think about it. Kayshon Booty flashes at times, a little inconsistent still, but I'm not going to put too much blame on him for the overtime interception that ended it. And no, not because the Patriots are still tops in tankathon and it was an amazing win. You see, we lost, but we got to see May as a stud, but we kept the number one pick. It was tough. If anything, I'm going to put it on Jerod Mayo for A, not going for two at the end of regulation. Like, you've got the Titans stunned, absolutely stunned. The entire offense is surging with adrenaline and excitement because their guy, Drake May, the quarterback leader that he's telling everybody that he wants to show that he can be, was exactly just that with one of the most incredible plays in Patriots history, in the NFL this season, maybe in the NFL this decade, the 11.82 seconds running around to find Mondre with the 7-yard Hail Mary in Nashville. But you know, go for two in that instance, Jerod. Drop him. Let's see the stones. Put him down on the table. Let's do this. Slap it between the knees. Let them know like you're not playing because you get the win, more confidence for the team, their excitement and their belief in themselves surges, which is spectacular. And if you lose, you still hold on to the number one pick and you know that you tried and that you believe in your guys. And if that's the culture you're trying to establish and that's the message you want to send, then I think that they should have gone for two there. I wouldn't have gone for two in Jacksonville a few weeks ago. I thought that sent the wrong message and created the wrong momentum for the defense. I would have gone for it here, especially you play to win on the road. Right now, there are Buccaneers fans, Buccaneers coaches, and Baker Mayfields that are kicking themselves for not going for two on the road last night in Kansas City because they played an awesome game all the way back at the end of regulation to score a shocking touchdown and tie up the Chiefs in the rain at meat-filled Arrowhead Stadium.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And then you get to overtime. Why would you go to overtime with Mahomes? That's where Mahomes does Mahomes things. Classic mistake. I would have let May try to cook right there, even if he was gassed, winded, and exhausted from running around for 12 seconds for his life, only to find Mondre for the tutty. So that's how I feel. And as far as Jalen Polk goes, he'll figure himself out. Booty's going to work things out as well. Like I said, I'm not holding him responsible for the INT. Jalen Polk has to play his way through this. You can't just sit him down after he had such a good college career and came in with an impeccable record, an immaculate sheet. Everybody said he was such a high character guy. He's in his feels right now. He's making mistakes. He needs to work his way out of his head and back onto the football field. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Javon Baker. Pop Douglas drops a ball on Sunday as well. Kendrick Bourne trips on the final play of the game, which frees up the safety to come over near Booty. And again, Coach Mayo, what the hell are you doing throwing into the wind in overtime? Drake May took responsibility for the throw because he said he should have read it differently because he threw a 60-yarder into the wind as well. I mean, I'm zero blame to Drake May. Zero blame to Drake May. I need these Patriots receivers to figure some of their own shit out right here and not put it on everybody else. There you go. Okay, here you go. Here's a thought from a lot of people. Jordan Watson, one of our favorites here on Six Rings. Watching live on Facebook as we record the latest pod. I don't think the players are soft. I think the coaches are soft. You know what? I'm a kind of agree with you. I'm a plus one on that one right there. You know what? I'm going to give you the old ballot box vote, Jordan. I don't see aggression from them. I see timid play calling, too many run plays that force Drake into third and longs where he's got to use his God-given skills and his unbelievable ability, as Alex Van Pelt has called it, to process the field at such a high level at such a young age with such limited professional experience. Again, asking too much of him. That's why these other guys need to play their way through and step up. And that's why they need to go and get a little extra help for him now as well. I wouldn't be afraid. Yes. Hello, Claire Cooper. It is Han Solo Fitzy here. You're all clear, kid. Let's blow this thing and go home. Punch it, Chewy. Having a grand old time with you on the latest Six Rings here. You know what I would do today? I'll tell you one of the trades I would make. In addition to the fact that KJ Osborne was a healthy scratch, he gone. He should be gone. You know, KJ Osborne and for a seventh anywhere, that's fine. Bag of footballs, I don't know, some garlic fries, whatever you can get in return for him. Seems like a nice guy, but it's just not a fit here. He's a professional receiver with some good experience. He can help out somewhere else. I'd see if I could pry Jacoby Myers away from the Raiders. How nice would that be? Imagine if Drake May, the rest of the season, had Hunter Henry, could take a little bit of the burden off Hunter and whatever the Raiders would ask for him, because they're going nowhere quickly, and I'm sure they would love to get out from under that salary, whereas the Patriots have the budget of a freaking Transformers movie. You could make a new Pirates of the Caribbean for the amount of money they have. You could buy a minority partnership in the friggin' Boston Celtics with all the free agency money the Patriots have. Go get Myers back. What, you don't think he's worth a fourth-round draft pick? Why not? I mean, that's what you spent on Laydon Robinson. That's what you spent on Javon Baker. Give him a reliable target the rest of the way, and then you have Myers for at least one more season to develop confidence with Drake May. He'd have Hunter, and he would have Jacoby Myers. It would be a blessed reunion. It would be undoing the mistake of choosing Juju Vansucky over Jacoby Myers as well. I think, yeah, there we go. See, I'm with you right there. Bingo. Wayne Felch, how about we trade for a wide receiver to help May? I am with you. And yes, delusional Patriots fan, it's killing all of us that the Patriots had under 20 rushing yards on Sunday. There's not going to be a tackle or a guard that's going to shake loose. If there is a quality left tackle to be found anywhere in the NFL, you know what the other teams would have done by now? Signed him. He's not just going to shake up Now, see, I don't agree with that. The problem is if you bring Myers back, you give up on Polk. How about this? Jalen Polk learns how to rediscover his hands and play the game the right way from Jacoby Myers. Remember, Jacoby Myers didn't have Tom Brady's confidence year one, only got a few passes thrown his way, had never dropped a pass in college as he converted from quarterback to receiver, then had some issues, may have dropped one or two from Brady or wasn't in the right spot. And we know how meticulous Tom was about his receivers. He told you recently at that Fanatics forum with Stephen A. Smith, he would tell Belichick, if this guy's not where I need him to be, or he doesn't understand the way I'm seeing the field, or doesn't read the coverage right, I'm not throwing him the ball. Brady was a bastard about those things, and unapologetically so. It took until 2020, when injuries necessitated Myers become Cam Newton's boo, and he became the prime target of the team, that he ascended into the high-quality number two receiver and possession target that he has become since. I think he would do wonders for these guys. Teach Javon Baker how to act like a grown-up. Teach Jalen Polk the ropes. He would be a massive, massive upgrade for the Patriots right now. And again, it wouldn't cost you much. And he also probably knows where to park, where his locker is, and what time he should be to the field in the quickest way to get what you want in the cafeteria line as well. I disagree. We're not going to sit Drake May to protect him as bad as the offensive line has been. That's not going to work. See, not Myers is just another mid-level. He's got 450 yards and a couple touchdowns on 35 catches. That's going to turn into a classic Jacoby Myers year of like 900 yards to 1,000, 80 receptions, and 6 to 8 touchdowns. I'd take that. That almost sounds like what the Patriots' entire wide receiver room is at this point. Running game, non-existent. I wish I could find a running back that's going to, like right now, let's see, who was traded earlier this morning? Khalil Herbert, who's more Ramondre than he is a speed back, like a Tony Pollard or someone who's shifty like that, who I really wanted in the offseason. He was traded from the Bears to the Bengals. They have Chase Brown, but Zach Moss is out for the year with a neck injury, and it could be longer. It seems like it's kind of serious. I don't want another hammer like that. I would love to find a speedy, shifty back. Just give me a little dude. I pine for the days of Shane Vereen and Danny Woodhead. How spectacular would that be? Some are saying you should just play it out with these guys, see how the culture evolves, and give these kids a chance to get their reps. There's an argument that can be made for that as well. I understand. Also, the defense, which has been playing half Scribinis and a lot of fill-ins and UFLers, it's been UDFA Central all over the defense. Much respect and props and hip-hops to the Jaqueline Roys, the Christian Ellises, the Pettises, and the other guys that you'd never heard of before. And then, of course, the Tavais and other people logging the most snaps that they've ever had as well. The defense needs a boost. You're not getting Jabril Peppers back anytime soon if he ever plays for the Pats or in the NFL again. Bentley is donezo for the season, and why would he race back? Definitely heal up the peck and be back and ready to rock next season with reinforcements. But Christian Barmore, as Gerard Mayo hinted at the top of the week, is inching closer and closer. We could see him maybe even by the Rams game. That would be a blessed homecoming. And the defense, I think he would make such a difference. He would take a little bit off of Equale and Godshow and so many of the other guys now that are logging career highs in reps. Don't forget, he's disruptive in the pass rush. He's a great run stopper. That they haven't had the spine of their defense all season long. And look, Covington is a rookie signal caller on defense as well. I didn't have Steve Belichick by his side. Gerard Mayo's concerned with the grander scheme of things, or, I don't know, just stoically staring at the field or playing pranks about flying birds coming in at everybody. I don't know what the hell he's doing. Just not going for two is what he's doing. I 100%, I 100% think that if you could find anything from an extra back that you would want to try to take a shot with, offensive lineman, a quality receiver. Okay, so here's another delusional Patriots fan. I want to see more Hasty, less Gibson. Okay, yeah, he had a touchdown on that nice screenplay against the Jaguars. That would be good. Trading for another cornerback. Jonathan Jones right now, obviously, could be somebody who's on the market. I hope they don't trade Jonathan Jones personally. You would have a vacuum, a dearth of leadership in the locker room because he's one of the spokesmen for the New England Patriots right now in that locker room. One of the final few guys, one of the last vestiges of the double dynastic run and days of Super Bowl past. Plays slot corner, outside corner, safety as well in a pinch. Not only do I hope they don't trade him unless they can work out some sort of like, go ahead and trade him. But then, you know, John, why don't you give us a call when the season's up? Maybe they could just, you know, do a little rental deal with him and bring him back. That's not completely unheard of as well. I would love to see John Jones finish his career here. I'm not sure exactly what other cornerback they get. Marcus Jones plays a decent slot corner. I'll tell you one thing I'm all in for, and let me know if you guys that are watching live right now are in for this as well. What do you guys think about more Marcus Jones on offense? That guy is absolutely electric. He is beyond canned heat. He is full-blown Napoleon Dynamite whenever he gets the ball in his hands. No one is going to want to kick to him the rest of the season. The punt returns Sunday against Nashville were spectacular. Put him on offense a little bit more. What do you got to lose? Well, possibly a slot corner if he gets dinged up, I guess. And you don't exactly have a lot of depth on defense in the first place. But you also may, what if he can make some plays for Drake May? He may open things up on the offense. If the passing game can just get going, maybe that'll finally open some running lanes, because I don't think in an Alex Van Pelt offense, which is really like a very traditional meat and potatoes dinner followed by a seventh grade dance where you leave enough room between dance partners for the Holy Ghost, I don't think the run game is going to open things up for the passing game anytime soon. So you're going to need a little more playmaking. Yes, thank you very much, Greg Donahue. We need a James White. We need a Kevin Falk. We need a somebody that we can go to for a little bit, all the extra somethings that we want. So these are just some of my thoughts. All right. Anyone else that we see improving on the Patriots? It's been a Drake May improvement year. It's been a Drake May burst onto the scene and development year. But I'm not I don't really know who else has improved drastically on the Patriots. Has anyone made strides? Is anyone else? Anthony Jennings impresses on defense. That guy is setting the edge. He is highly underrated. He falls into that Juwan Bentley of like blue collar, high floor, utilitarian, working class, Belichickian style defensive players that I'd love to see more of. As Behringer had a bad game Sunday, I'll forgive him that. New dad, Joey Sly. I think if we can keep him around for a while, of course, Chad Ryland is heading towards the playoffs now as the kicker for the Arizona the 5-4 Arizona Cardinals, who we'll see in a couple of weeks. Chad Ryland revenge game. Book it November 24th. It is. It's the missionary of play calling. That's what a lot of people have referred to Alex Van Pelt. And I agree with you guys. Yes, Marcus Jones is a playmaker. This team does not have a lot of blue chip talent. It does not have enough electricity. We do not have enough playmakers out there. So if you could maybe spare him 4 to 6 plays a game, call his number, some design, an end around, maybe just even a bubble screen, jet sweep, something, just to see if you can get him in space and make some plays. All right. That'll probably do right now. We've given the running game some crap. We've had our fun with Alex Van Pelt. We want Gerard Mayo to drop him on the table and play with some more stones. I agree. Booty's been okay at times. Godshow, you know what? Actually, surprisingly, Devon Godshow has shown some improvement this year. We heard that he was one of the best defensive tackles, or according to him and Bill Belichick, seemed like he was overrated. Played his hand this year nicely when Barmore went down, renegotiated a new contract with the Patriots. He's reasonably high graded. Like, he's a solid run stuffing defensive lineman. So I don't want to see them trade him away to the 49ers. Okay. Let's say you fleece a third round pick out of the 49ers if they're desperate enough to help their run defense because their D line has been gashed and they have Super Bowl aspirations in an NFC that I think is going to be dominated by the Detroit Lions the rest of the way. The team, in full confession, I am rooting for it to win the Super Bowl this year because, well, I think we can have an honest conversation about our Patriots people. It's probably not going to go their way. But I would love to see the Lions win if any other team wins this year. Yes, Booty is getting a little bit better each and every week. I think he's going to be a keeper for a while. This is what this season is about, you guys. Godshow, stick around. Keep John Jones around for the leadership. I wish I could say the same about some linemen. Booty is going to get better. There are Christian Gonzalez. His numbers are through the roof. He's excellent. There are some pieces there. There's just not enough around Drake May now. So let's hope maybe the Patriots can acquire somebody. We know that they're stacking picks for next year. We know they've got a ton of money to be able to get after it next offseason as well. They've got a lot of draft picks. The future is looking brighter. There is light at the end of the cave, people. There is something to watch for every week. There's a lot to root for. And yes, like Tom Curran said, that was a game on Sunday to recruit players to come to Foxborough and to buy May jerseys and get everybody fired up for the future in Foxborough. And I'm with you, Wayne Felch. Make sure everybody stays safe out there. Go vote. You don't get to complain. You don't get to bitch. You can do that about your favorite football team each and every Six Rings Live podcast. And, of course, on the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. But you can't complain about the state of affairs in this blessed, beautiful and ridiculous union that is the United States, unless you go out there today and do your job and make sure you vote. Oh, and yeah, by the way, it can't be that bad of a week because the Yankees lost the World Series. All right. That is a good one. Quick note to everybody as well. Back later in the week with our preview of the Bears against the Pats. And if anyone's going to be in Chicago this weekend, I'm taking my son to his first road game, Patriots game. I will be at Soldier Field Sunday, 12 p.m. Central Time. Beverage in hand, not on the post-game show this week. Actually taking in a Pats game like a proper fan. So if anyone's out there, holler at me at FitzyGFY. Let me know where you're at, and maybe we'll get a chance to meet up for a frosty one and cheer on our favorite football team in one of the great cities in America. It has been a pleasure having you people, Pats fans, the greatest fans in all the land, with me here on a recap and preview Pivot Patriots podcast done six ring style. You guys take care. Have an awesome rest of your day. Stay away from the corn dogs. What are you talking about? Get out of here. I'm going to go full deep dish. Lou Malnati's or GTFO. Whoa, and what's the name of the hot dog place out there as well? Portillo's. That's right, Portillo's. Chicago dogs and deep dish and old style for life. You guys have a great day. Get out there and vote. We'll talk to you later in the week. Hooray for Drake May. Vote Patriots. God bless. And as always, go Pats.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.